Take your Bibles, if you will, and I want you to turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Tonight, I'm going to start teaching a new series. The title of the series is Biblical Separation. We're going to talk about the subject of separation. I've never taught a series on this before. I'm enamored with the thought of it, and I think it'll help a lot of you. Some of you will grow. Some of you will just get mad. But you probably were before we started anyway. And so, Titus chapter 2, I want you to stand with me if you will. Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to read to you, starting with verse number 12, I'm going to read three or four verses of Titus chapter 2. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. When it says let no man despise thee, it said he's talking about living godly and holy and righteous in a specific way. And he's telling the preacher, he said, don't worry if people get mad at you about it. You just go ahead and teach what I told you to teach. I think the part of the verse that I want you to see right off the bat, though, in verse number 14, it says, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Tonight, we'll start the new series on biblical separation. And I'll start at the beginning. I'll answer the question, why? Why separation? Why? I think I'll show you tonight why God has chosen the doctrine and the teaching, the concept of separation. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, bless us tonight. Thank you for the book that you wrote. It's perfect. It's inerrant. It's thorough. It's complete. Thank you for it. I pray, Father, that we will use the book to guide us through our lives. Holy Spirit of God, grow your people. Grow me. I ask, Father, that for the weeks following, that you will get involved in a unique and in a special way as we talk about your truth of separation in the Christian life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We could call tonight's sermon, Why Separation? Or we could call it God's Purpose for Separation. Or maybe we could call it God's Reason for Separation. Maybe God's objective in separation, or God's mission for separation, or God's original intent for separation. But I want to answer the question tonight, why? Why this matter of separation? First of all, we see in Titus 2:14 that you and I are to be a peculiar people. Now, I'm going to read some other verses to you. I'm going to read, and if I don't mind you turning in your Bible, but I tell you, I want you to be careful. Sometimes we're 5 minutes into the sermon, and you're still looking for a verse that we used 5 minutes ago, and you're lost in the sermon. And so I always get concerned about that. Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. Why don't you take your Bible, if you can turn quickly. You may turn there real quick. In Luke 1:17, it says this. When they had seen it, they made known abroad. Oh, that's Luke 2. I need Luke 1. Luke 1:17. The Bible says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God is, he tells us, first of all, we're to be a peculiar people. Then he tells us that he's preparing a people for the Lord. We're to be a prepared people. In other words, there's some things that you and I ought to do to be prepared for the Lord. We don't come ready-made. We need to be fixed up. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I want you to understand right off the bat, this isn't saying that someone's predestinated to heaven and someone's predestinated to hell. That's not what that's teaching there at all. But I want you to understand the part of the verse that we're looking at the end of it. It says, according to the good pleasure of His will. We're to live our lives to the good pleasure of God's will. We're to be a peculiar people. We're to be a people that are prepared for the Lord. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Colossians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse number 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So now God's saying, whatever we do, it's all to be done in the name of the Lord. Now go to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Oh, it's whatever we do is to be done unto the Lord. We're a peculiar people. We are to be prepared for the Lord. We're to live our life to His good pleasure, and whatever we do, it's to be for Him. Now, we are a church that believes and practices the Bible doctrine of separation. We are not only a church, but we are a people that believe and practice the doctrine of personal separation. Everybody believes in separation. Everybody does. I'll tell you about that more later in another lesson. But you say, "Well, I don't really believe in separation." Sure you do. Nobody pours a gallon of water into their bed before bedtime because you believe in the separation of wet and dry. And your socks are together in the drawer. Well, some of you, those of you that wear socks. We practice separation all day long. And people, you talk about separation at the church, you practice it all the time. Every corporation believes in separation. Every part of the military believes in separation. The government believes in separation. You believe in separation. But not everybody lets the Bible dictate their separation. Luke 4:4 says, "We're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You see, there are people that want to pick their own separation. Or they let society pick it. Whatever society says we ought to be separated in, that's what we'll be separated in. There are people that let common sense pick their separation. But you got to understand something, folks. Society is not always scriptural. Your common sense is not always scriptural. We're not to let our opinions determine our separation. We're not to let our heart determine our separation. We're not even to let our minds determine our separation. And you say, "Well, how are we going to do it?" The Bible. The Bible is to determine our separation. It might be that you're a good Christian. I try to be a good Christian. There are parts of the Bible that have told me to live separately, and I don't really like it. But I do it. Because that's what God said. I can remember when I first got saved, there's some separation matters that came to me and I said, "I don't like this." Thank God my pastor was not a coward. He said, "God didn't ask you if you liked it." My pastor was a drill sergeant before he became a pastor, and he said, "I didn't ask you if you liked it. You do it." I let God dictate my separation. Separation matters are also called standards. Separation is taught in depth throughout the entire Bible. Tonight, we'll begin at God's original purpose for separation. We're going to answer the question, why separation? I'm going to use a little illustration that I used with my daughter when she was growing up. I wanted to teach her the importance of cleanliness. Cleanliness with one's body. Cleanliness morally. Parents, cleanliness of your room, young people. So what I did is I got a plate, and I put some leftover food on that plate. And I have a plate up here. It has mustard on it, it has ketchup on it, and it has horseradish on it. What I did with my daughter, and I forget, honey, I can't remember how old she was. She's probably 10 or 11, maybe a young teenager. I can't remember. But I got a plate out, and I said to her, I said, honey, I said, here's a clean plate, and you could see your reflection in it. I said, and here's another plate. I said, if I were about to give you some food, and I held up the clean plate, I said, which one would you want me to serve the food on? She said, oh, Daddy, the clean one. The clean one. That's the one I would want to use. I said, so I want you to remember this. God's looking for clean plates. I mean, if I would pick a clean plate, God's got more sense than I do. So God would pick a clean plate. The inventor of the plate invented it to be clean. And then it's used. And so, and you all feel the same way. If I told you I was going to give you a piece of cheesecake, y'all want cheesecake? Jason, ask Jason to make you a cheesecake. He'd go into business. Jason Conaway's cheesecake's like out of this world. Someday he'll have a stand out here on 70. Jason's cheesecake, out of this world. But if I were going to serve you a big, delicious piece of cheesecake, and I said, how about I use this plate? You would say, no way. Matter of fact, you might even say, I'd rather not have the cheesecake than to have the cheesecake served on that platter. Because that's not clean. Now, God feels the same way. God wants you and I to be clean, and by being clean, we're usable. I really believe scripturally the Bible teaches the cleaner we are, the more usable we are. So, it kind of makes sense, I guess. It makes sense to me that the cleaner we are, the more usable we are. And what God wants is He wants anything like this to be separated from the plate. It's taken off the plate. Now, the sermon is so simple. So simple. But you have to understand, we're going somewhere. And tonight, we just take the first step. Why separation? First of all, let me say this. Number one, God created man, and we belong to Him. I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. And the Bible says this, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the first thing in our step toward why separation, we need to understand that God created man, and we belong to Him. The Big Bang Theory is a lie. It is a lie. You were created by God. You did not evolve. He created and owns His creation. You did not come from a monkey. You may scratch your underarms and eat a lot of bananas, but you did not come from a monkey. He created you, and He owns His creation. You are not your own. But you are His. And that's the first step toward why separation. Number two, God created man for God's glory. God created man for God's glory. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11 says this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm about to say something that most of you do not believe 90% of your life. God did not create you for you. And that ought to settle all the rest of it. You were not created for you. God did not primarily create us for each other. Now, I believe Mrs. Owens is my soulmate. I've loved her for a long time, and she's the woman for me. But I have to tell you, she was not created specifically for me, nor was I created specifically for her. She was created for him. I was created for him. God did not create you for you. God did not create you for each other, primarily. We get the benefit of it. Your very existence is for God's glory. God created you for himself and for his glory. So, number one, God created man, and we belong to him. Number two, God created man for his pleasure and for his glory. Number three, this is why we are commanded to do all to the glory of God. That's why we are commanded to do all to the glory of God. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, why? God created you. You say, well, why should I do all to the glory to God? He created you, and you were created for the purpose of his glory. You were created not to please you. We weren't created to please each other. We were created to please him. So this is why we're commanded to do all to the glory of God. Now, that word there in 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says all to the glory of God, the word all there in the Greek language means all. Again, that should clear up anybody's fuss with what the Bible says. We're to do all to the glory of God. In case the word all doesn't make sense to you, it means every area of life. Your attitude to the glory of God. 6 a.m. attitude to the glory of God. In a pinch at work, all to the glory of God. When things are not going your way, all to the glory of God. Every area of life, your attitude at work, all to the glory of God. Your possessions, all to the glory of God. If you have something at your house that doesn't glorify God, you shouldn't have it. Your music, all to the glory of God. Your habits, all to the glory of God. Your hair, all to the glory of God. Your body, all to the glory of God. Your clothes, all to the glory of God. Your thoughts, all to the glory of God. Your time usage, all to the glory of God. Your money, all to the glory of God. We could stop right there. Some of you should be overwhelmed at what you've been taught. Because you didn't create yourself. He created you, and he didn't create you for you. He created you for him. That's why everything you do, everything you have, everywhere you go, ought to be in his good pleasure and ought to glorify him. That would give us a whole bunch of good Christians if we just shut the sermon down right there and we all said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'll do. But let's go on, because I have about 30 minutes left in the service, so we need to fill it up with something. God created man, and we belong to him. Number two, God created man for God's glory. Number three, that's why we're commanded to do all to the glory of God. And then, number four, we are commanded to be holy as he is holy. In Leviticus chapter 11, let me find it here real quick. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, the Bible says this. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now we are commanded to be holy. By the way, we're commanded to be holy as he is holy. Not holy as other humans are holy, but holy as God is holy. Holiness is a concept not given much attention in churches today. You don't hear people talk about holy living much anymore. Folks, your decisions should be holy decisions. Your lifestyle should be a holy lifestyle. Not just on Sunday, on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Not just on the church property. There are people here. There is a level of Christianity that you practice when you step onto this church property, and the rest of your week is a mess. You don't live the same way at home that you do at church. I'm very sorry. The Bible doesn't say you're to be holy down at the church and live like the devil at home. We're to be holy. We're to be holy not as each other are holy. We're to be holy as He is holy. So, God created man and we belong to Him. Point one. Point two, God created man for His glory and His pleasure. Number three, this is why we're commanded to do all to the glory of God. Number four, we're commanded to be holy as He is holy. Number five, we are to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Or we're to fulfill God's His will for our lives, if you will. It's His purpose or it's His will. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 143. In Psalm 143, verse number 10. I'm just about there. The Bible says this. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I am to do the will of God. Which kind of makes sense. He created me. I belong to Him. He created me for His pleasure and His glory. He's already told me that everything I do is to be done to His glory. I am to be holy as He is holy. So that means all of this is going to help me to fulfill His will or His purpose in my life. And that's what I'm commanded to do. Folks, you and I, we are here to do what He wants us to do. Husbands are to do God's will. Wives are to do God's will. Your children are to do God's will. Parents, you might not like this, but you need to be told this. You say, I've got a dream of what my child's going to do. You better let your child do what God wants them to do. Or you're stealing your child from God. You didn't create that child. God created your child. God didn't create your child for you. God created your child for Him. And your child is to do the will of God just like you, Mom, and just like you, Dad. The safest place in the world is for your child to be in the will of God. You know, the most unfulfilled people in this life are the ones who do not fulfill God's will for their everyday lives. Now, there are some people who are just miserable all the time anyway. But what I'm telling you is, when people are not out to do God's will, that'll make you miserable. The most fulfilled people are the ones who do His will. Okay? So I said this. I said, number one, God created man and we belong to Him. I said, number two, God created man for His glory and pleasure. Number three, that's why we're commanded to do all to the glory of God. Number four, we're commanded to be holy as He is holy. Number five, God then tells us that we're to fulfill His will or His purpose for our lives. Number six, God wants us to separate from anything that keeps us from being holy as He is holy. In other words, He said, anything that will keep you from being holy, like I am, needs to be done away with. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 14. And I'm just about there. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 14. 15 and 16, the Bible says this. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation there is not just talking about you and I discussing something. That means your way of life. So it says that we're to be holy in our conversation because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, God wants us to separate from anything that keeps us from being holy as He is holy. We're to put everything to the holiness test. So, before you do it, say, is this holy? Before you go there, say, is this holy? Before you say it, you ask yourself, is this holy? Well, this cleaned up your Christian life. It's very basic, very simple. Put everything to the holiness test. You say, well, how will I know? The Bible is a holiness guide. The Bible will tell you whether it's right or wrong. If something we do, if it hinders holiness, then it should be seen as us as a hindrance to our being what we ought to be for God. In other words, we won't be right with God if we do something that's not holy. It hinders us. All decisions should be holy decisions. All behaviors should be holy behaviors. I repeat myself a lot. I think I've got Alzheimer's. Number one, God created man and we belong to Him. Number two, God created man for His glory and for His pleasure. Number three, that's why He commanded us to do all to God's glory. Number four, we're commanded to be holy as He is holy. Number five, we are commanded to fulfill God's purpose or His will for our lives, not our own will. Number six, now comes separation. God wants us to separate from anything that keeps us from being holy as He is holy. And the holiness guide is the Bible. The holiness standard is the Bible. It's not each other. It's not religion. It's not what the church says. Not what the church fathers say. It's what God the Father said in the only book that God ever wrote. That's one reason why we need a holy Bible. That's one reason we don't need people tampering with the Bible. They need to leave it alone. They don't need to rewrite it. They just need to relive it. And the more they change it, the less holiness is presented in it. It's just a proven fact. The further you are away from a belief of a holy book, the less holy you'll be. Because you've got to have a standard. And God wants us to separate from anything that keeps us from being holy. Number seven. God wants us to separate from anything that would hinder us from fulfilling His purpose for our lives. Now, first I said, separate from anything that will keep you from being holy. Now, God wants us to separate from anything that would hinder us from fulfilling His purpose for our lives. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 11, verse number 2. This will be familiar to you quickly. It's what they call the model prayer. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, that's holy, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And you and I as Christians, we're not to want this for everybody else on the earth. We ought to be saying, God, I want your will done on my part of the earth, where I walk. Where I live, where I think, where I eat, where I work. You see, God wants us to separate from anything that would keep us from being holy as He is holy. But wait, God wants us also to separate from anything that would hinder us from fulfilling His purpose for our lives. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, you better pray. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're not just talking about worldwide peace and let's save the whales. This is talking about you doing God's will. You being in God's will. You being holy. You fulfilling God's purpose. So, God wants us to separate from anything that would keep us from fulfilling His purpose for our lives. If it doesn't align with His purpose for our lives, it should be avoided. His purposes are found in His book. If something limits His purpose, then it should be avoided by the Christian. Do you know that there are sometimes things that we might not consider sinful, but they hinder God's purpose, so we might want to avoid them? The Bible talks about casting aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. And then it talks about sin in that same verse. Do you know that when a runner goes to run, they don't usually carry 100 pounds of potatoes with them when they're running. But let me ask you a question. Are potatoes sinful? No. Fried potatoes are especially not sinful. Nothing wrong with potatoes. Nothing wrong with 100 pounds of potatoes. But if you're running a race, you don't carry 100 pounds of potatoes with you. Why? It's an unnecessary weight. See, there's some things about separation. Some of you can say, well, I don't like that. I don't even see why. If God told you it's a weight, then you need to set it aside, because in His opinion, it'll weigh you down. It'll keep you from being a peculiar people. It'll... You say, well, I don't feel dirty doing it. Well, if God told you not to do it, you ought to. Are you now the standard of what's right and wrong and what's clean and dirty? Or is God the standard? Is society making your decisions for you? Or is God making your decisions for you? Is your conscience leading you? You might want to be careful. Your conscience can be seared to the point of not functioning properly. We let the Bible be our guide. So, His purposes are found in His book. All behavior should be in unity with His purposes for our life. All decisions should be in harmony with His plan for our life. So, when I go to the very beginning of this, why separation? I start out, God created me. I belong to Him. Secondly, God created me for His glory, not for mine. Thirdly, that's why He can get away with and is totally justified in saying, I am to glorify Him in all that I do. Number four, I'm commanded to be holy as He is holy. Number five, I am to fulfill His will, God's purpose for my life. Then enters this issue of separation. God wants us separate from anything that will keep us from being holy as He is holy. Then, number seven, God wants us to separate from anything that would hinder us from fulfilling His purpose or His will. Number eight, God wants us to separate from anything that would keep us from bringing glory to Him. Anything. I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, it says this. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, I'm gonna start reading this again, but I want to point something out to you. He's showing you positive and negative, light and dark, good and bad. Listen to it as it's read. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you've got believers and unbelievers, two sides of the coin. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In some parts of the Bible, it even tells us, don't even look at the unclean thing. Well, you'd be shocked at how strict God can be. So, now, we are to separate from anything that would keep us from bringing glory to Him. You say, why? Well, you were created for His glory. Now, if we would just accept the basic truth of I was not created for me, I was created for Him, and the reason I was created was for His glory, and that I should not do anything that wouldn't bring glory to Him, we would just straighten up our lives and we'd live according to the Bible. It's not a difficult thing. It's called separation. So God wants me to separate from anything that would not bring Him glory. In other words, if it does not glory to God, if it does not glorify God, don't do it. If it does not glorify God, don't say it. If it does not glorify God, don't think it. If it does not glorify God, don't go there. If it does not glorify God, don't wear it. If it does not glorify God, don't listen to it. If it does not glorify God, don't want it. Why? I was created to glorify God. See, If it's not holy, I shouldn't do it. I was created to be holy. If it won't help me to fulfill His purpose, I shouldn't do it. I was not created for my purpose. I was not created for society's purpose. I was created for God's purpose. Now, if you're an atheist, you might have a hard time with this. But I happen to believe that God is the great creator. Jehovah God is to be in charge of everything. And so, anything that keeps me from being holy, I should separate from it. Anything that keeps me from fulfilling God's purpose for my life, I should separate from it. Anything that would hinder me from glorifying God, I should separate from it. Folks, there is a big chunk of Christianity out there that are very much so part-time. They come to church, and they want to be gods for a little while at church. Then they leave the church property, and they're their own, and their society's thereafter. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches 7 day a week, 52 week a year, 365 day a year Christianity. From now till the day you die. Matter of fact, even beyond that. So, if anything that doesn't bring glory to Him, I am to separate from it. God wants to use something clean. God created us to be clean. He doesn't want us tainted or spotted by the world. You say, but I don't understand. I got to tell you something. It doesn't matter if you understand.
Right.
You're to do what God says. We have doctors here. We have nurses here. Most people do not understand the extreme importance of sanitation in an operating room. They have no idea what could happen if all the equipment is not sanitized. If the tools used for surgery are not sanitized, if hands are not sanitized, oh, the infection and what could set in. And you know what they'll do? If something has even a little unseen bacteria on it, if they knew it was there, they would say, we can't use that. We can't use that. Someone's life is at stake. Well, God's will is at stake, and God's purpose is at stake, and God's glory is at stake. And though you might not see why your germ in your life is a big deal, God said it was. And you're not the standard for what's right and wrong. God is. God is. Now, let me go on. Number 9. God wants us for Himself, and He practices holy jealousy over us. God wants us for Himself, and He practices holy jealousy for us. Well, I guess He has a right. He created us. He owns us. Now, let me read to you from Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 5, the Bible says this, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I could take you to verse after verse after verse in the Bible where God says He's a jealous God. Now, God has a right to be jealous over us. He created us. He owns us. Now, let me explain. Sometimes, if you're a bit of a thinker, You might struggle. You say, well, God's jealous? I thought we were not to be jealous. You're not to be. God's jealousy is a holy jealousy. God, you know, jealousy is where, you know, it's obvious you want something and you feel like you deserve that something. Could I clarify? God, if He wants something, He deserves it. All of it. There is nothing that He does not deserve. He's the owner of it all. It's all His, including you. God's jealousy is a holy, purified, perfect jealousy. Ours is carnal and tainted. God wants all of you. Anything that you put before Him ignites His holy jealousy. What is it right now? You say, I will not give this to God. Whatever it is, God is jealous in regard to that thing. Why? Because that's a part of you he does not have. Do you think he doesn't deserve that part of you? Say, I'm not going to give him my music. Okay? So you don't think God deserves that part of you? Well, I'm not going to give him my money. So you don't think God deserves that part of you? God has a right to it all. You know, your money, you're merely a steward. What you have was given to you by Him, and if you have any sense, it's not really yours. On loan. From God. See, He created us. He owns us. He has a holy jealousy. Anything we put before Him ignites His holy jealousy. Anything we put before His holiness in our lives, it ignites His holy jealousy. Anything we put before His purpose for our lives, it ignites His holy jealousy. Anything we put before His glory in our lives, it ignites His holy jealousy. See, God is jealous, and I understand jealousy. I think we all understand jealousy. Now, understand that anything that God wants you to do that you won't do, He becomes jealous in a holy way, because that means you put that thing before Him. The Bible says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? God tells you a man ought to keep his hair cut. Say, I'm not going to give God my hair. Then God is jealous over the fact that you won't cut your hair for Him. Your hair is more important to you than God. Should not I ever be that way? Nothing should come before God in your life. If He wants it, give it to Him. Say, how do I know what He wants? You do what the Bible says. We are to separate from anything that makes God jealous. He's going to be jealous over you doing His will. He's going to be jealous over you not being holy. He's going to be jealous over Him not getting glory, because that's why you were created. Now, I'll review and then I'll get to the very last point of the sermon. Number one, God created man and we belong to Him. Number two, God created man for God's glory. Number three, that's why God can say, do all to my glory. That's why we were created. Number four, we're commanded to be holy as He is holy. Number five, we're to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. That's why we were created. Number six, God wants us to separate from anything that keeps us from being holy as He is holy. Number seven, God wants us to separate from anything that will keep us from fulfilling His purpose for our life. Number eight, God wants us to separate from anything that would keep us from bringing glory to Him. Number nine, God practices holy jealousy concerning His Christian, His sons, and His daughters. Anything He asks you to do away with that you don't makes God jealous, because you've now put it before you put God. You wives, you just let some, let your husband get too close to some other woman. Your jealousy will flare up. You'll say, I want you to stay away from that. Y'all, that makes sense to you, doesn't it? You men, if your wife was flirting with some man, you would say to your wife, I want you to stay away from that. Well, the great God of the universe has some things that He has said, stay away from that. I want you. I want you for me. And He has total right to it. And then finally, the last point. Because of all of this, God tells us in His Word specifically to separate from some things. So there are many things that He tells us in the Bible that we should separate from. I'm going to read a verse to you from John chapter 17. And the Bible says this in John 17:17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The word sanctify, it's almost like the word separation. Sanctify means being set apart. This plate, we want it set apart from the dirt. We have a beautiful piano. That piano is set apart. That piano is made for gospel music in His will. Amen. That's holy. That glorifies God. Don't you ever come in this auditorium and play rock and roll music on that piano. It is sanctified. Don't you play country music on that. It's sanctified. Don't you play Christian rock on that. It's sanctified. Don't you play contemporary junk on it. It's sanctified. It's set apart. It's for holy. It's for God's purpose. It's to glorify God. It's set apart. Just like that piano, you're to be sanctified. Set apart. Set apart. You say, well, there are a bunch of other pianos out there that people play bad music on, but that one's sanctified. That one's set apart. See, you are an instrument in the hands of God. And God ought to be glorified. He ought to be totally pleased with everything about you. God is very thorough about His wishes concerning separation. God is very exacting about the areas of separation. God is not interested in our excuses, but in our obedience to His desire for separation in our lives. If the Bible tells us that God doesn't want us to do something, we're to separate from it. Now, you separate, first of all, because God said so. And all parents here understand that. You know, when your 11-year-old, when you say, now be quiet, and your 11-year-old says, well, why should I? As a parent, you could give them reasons. But almost every parent alive says this, because I said so. Now, some of you talk to your child that way, but when God says that to you, because I said so, you talk back. You say, well, later. I wonder if your 11-year-old says, well, I don't understand. Explain it to me. Now, but there's some of that's what you do with God. I don't understand. Explain to me. God wants you to understand, but I'll tell you what. If you don't understand, if God said it, I think you can trust Him over you.
Right.
Separation's taking this off the plate. Because the plate was intended to be clean. The plate's more usable if it's clean. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the subject of sanctification. The whole series is about the doctrine of separation. Some people call it standards, if you will. Sanctification is a part of what separation is. You'll find out in lessons to come. Separation is from something to something. I go from talking bad and I separate bad talk, and then I go to good talk. I take bad out of my life and I put good in my life. And God's real good at that. That's a part of separation. I hope you'll come. I hope you'll come and be a part. I've been preaching the gospel since I was 16 years of age. 41 plus years I've been preaching the gospel. This is the first time I've ever preached a series on the subject of separation. I'm going to promise you this. Churches all across America need a dose of what I'm going to teach in our church. They are a mess. They are a mess. Now, if you came here from some other liberal church and you transfer in, you may have a hard time adjusting, but I will tell you this, you won't change me. You say, why? Because the Bible hadn't changed. Don't try to change us. You say, I don't want that lifestyle, then go back to your old church. Say, you're trying to be mean to me? No, but you're not going to change our church. And don't go around here griping and complaining about the fact that we believe in separation here. Amen. Nobody begged you to come. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. But it's in the Bible. Amen. And I mean it. You go around griping and complaining about it. That's not fair to us. God didn't send you here to change us. God sent you here to hear the Bible. And if what we teach and believe is in the Bible, you shouldn't criticize it. You shouldn't criticize it. Separation is in the Bible. I mean, wow, is it in the Bible? Night and day, up and down, off and on, so many things separated. And everybody believes in separation. Everybody, deeply. Matter of fact, it is so ingrained in you to live separation in your life. But you pick what you want to separate in. You pick it. But God wants to pick it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never been saved, you come tonight. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have been saved tonight, don't let the subject scare you. Come back and I challenge you. Take everything that I use in the Bible tonight and take a look at it. See if it's in there. See if it's not what the Bible teaches. It's there. If you're a Christian, grow in your separation. Grow in it. I believe that God will use our church in a greater way in years to come because of this series. We need more workers around our church. But you must practice separation to be used. And the more you practice that separation, the more usable you become. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll look at the things that need to be cleaned up and change them for God, not for me, but for God, so God can use you in a greater way. My head is bowed, my eyes are closed. Who here would let God see your hand? Who here would say, God, I want to be separate. I don't want to fight separation in my life. I want to submit to it, God. I'll separate, God, as you teach me. Would you let God see your hand? Let Him see your testimony? You can put those hands down. We're going to have a brief altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, I want you to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Lest the subject of separation scare you, let me tell you something. Preachers used to preach it all the time. I'm talking about denominations and things that are full of prunes. They had separation. You go back in life and just about anything that called itself Christian practiced separation. But now they're so worldly, you can't even tell the church from the world anymore. We're to be a peculiar people. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The whole foundation finds itself in the truth of tonight. God created us. He created us for His glory and for His purpose. We're to separate from anything that keeps us from being holy. We're to separate from anything that hinders His purpose. We're to separate from anything, anything that keeps us from glorifying God in our lives. Sanctified, set apart. Ushers, if you'll have the prayer bulletins ready.